I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians, chapter number 3, as we stand to our feet tonight in honor of God's Word. Ephesians, chapter number 3, we begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book as you read through it and read about the grace of God and the work of God and Paul's love for this church. And he says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now I'm going to stop right there just for a moment. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's writing and he's telling them not to be wearied with the tribulations that he's had to go through for them. And he says, because of these things, and if you read verse number chapter 3 all the way through, you're going to get a clearer picture of what he's writing about. But then he says, I'm going to pray for you. And I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And then here's the request that he had, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you'd be strengthened with his with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And here's what you need to comprehend with all the saints: the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ. That's a mighty prayer, isn't it? It's a wonderful prayer. And then he closes out this portion, and he says in verse number 20, now unto him, who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. The one that to know the love of Christ, to be filled with the fullness of God as in Christ, that unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So unto the Lord, he's able, but unto the Lord be glory in the church. And tonight I want to preach on this thought. I want to preach on unto him be glory in the church. And we're going to look at how God can have the glory in our church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the time that you've given to us to be here. We thank you for your word, which we just read, been encouraged by it and helped by it. Beautiful to read the words of a man that loved this church at Ephesus so very much. But Lord, we thank you most of all that he's always pointing people to you. And Lord, that this is not about Paul, but Lord, it's about you, about who you are, what you are, and what you want to be in our lives. So Lord, it's about you getting the glory. And I pray, Lord, tonight that we would be a church that would bring glory and honor unto your holy name. Lord, we'd be obedient servants throughout this time of the year as we think about you sending your only begotten Son into this world. Lord, I pray that our desire would not be just through this time of the year, but every day of our life to bring glory unto you in the church. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. The Bible says, unto him be glory in the church. Can I ask you tonight, what is the church? What is the church? Is this building the church? It's a meeting place of the church, isn't it? Is the fellowship hall the church? So, it's the people that make up the church. And the Bible teaches us, and Paul says, that there is to be glory brought to God in the church. And when we think about that, the church is to be doing for God the things that would bring glory unto him. So, as beautiful as our building ought to be, and I believe it ought to be as pretty as we can possibly have it, as nice as we ought to keep it up, and I believe we ought to do the very best we can at keeping it up, because I believe it's a testimony of the church. But the church is not the building. Of all that, the most important thing is what we are and who we are when we leave this building and we go out into this world. Are we bringing glory to God in the church? Now, as we think about this, I want to think about some things that allows God to get the glory. And I've got three things. A church that preaches. Every one of us are to be preachers of the gospel. Now, some of us are not God called in the fact that God's going to call us to be an evangelist or a pastor. You know, and some of you ladies, I hate to tell you this, God didn't call you to preach. But He did call you to preach the gospel, right? He called us to preach the gospel, but He didn't call you to the place of authority of a pastor or of an evangelist or you understand what I'm saying tonight. But we're all to be preachers. We're all to tell others. We're all to preach the truth of the gospel. And tonight I've got three things. As we look through this series, I'm going to be, it's a church that preaches, a church with a purpose, and a church that praises the Lord. That's going to be the three-part series. And I may add a couple more parts before we get through with all this, but I believe that's what I'm going to be doing. But tonight, what is it that we're to preach? Well, first of all, I believe we're to preach the Bible. The church is to know the Bible. The church is to know God's Word. When we go out into the world and we begin to talk to people about the Lord, there's going to be questions that arise. And we need to know what the Bible has to say about the issues. You know, it's so sad that we give our opinion, but we don't give God's opinion. And I think we need to learn what the Bible has to say. I believe we need to understand that it is our responsibility as Christians to learn the Word of God and to tell others what the Bible has to say. One of the problems in America is preachers, pastors have quit preaching the Bible. You know, now what a lot of preachers do is they get up and they open with a cute little story, a funny little saying or something like that, and they'll go through all kinds of things, and then at the end, they'll read a couple of scriptures from the Bible, and then they'll close, and people get all emotional about things. You know, you're not saved by emotions tonight. You're saved not by feelings, but you're saved by faith. How do I know that? For the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It doesn't say by grace are you saved through feelings. By grace are you saved through faith. Do you feel saved every day? I don't. Do you know there are days that I get up and I don't feel saved? Because when I think of what saved feels like, I think it makes you feel good all the time. Do you feel good all the time? You ever have a backache, headache, heartache? You have an emotional stress in your life? And you go through something like you don't feel saved. I'm glad salvation's not by feelings. I'm glad it's not according to how I feel when I get up in the morning if I'm saved or not. There was a day in my life when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that, heaven's going to be my home. How do I know that? Because that's what the Bible has to say. So the Bible teaches us that we are to be able to give an answer for the hope that is in us. How do you do that? Through the authority of God's Word. So when we think about the Bible, what is it that we're to do? We are to be a church that preaches. We are to go out and we are to herald the truth of God's Word. I want you to look with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, and verse number 16. And notice what the Bible says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You're not going to find many things that God says is profitable. This is what He says. All Scripture is profitable. Did you know the things that hurt you when you hear it is profitable? It's profitable for doctrine. We've got to have it. I was talking to a preacher today and a dear friend of mine, and he was telling me how he was at a campground, and there was a fellow came up and believed he was saved, but started talking about the Lord and the change that had been wrought in his life. But he says, I started going to this church over in this little town. And he said, now my church, we don't preach doctrine. We don't get into that junk. And my friend said to him, wait just a minute. Do you know what doctrine is? And he said, can I give you just a definition of doctrine? And then he says, well, sure. He said, doctrine is what you believe. So you're telling me that you don't believe anything? And he said, that guy looked at him dumbfounded. Now, this guy wasn't a pastor, you know. But that's what they do. They make a big deal about not preaching doctrine. You understand that if you're not preaching God's doctrine, you're preaching man's doctrine. Because whatever you believe, that's your doctrine. And so, what doctrine is right? God's or man's? You know, the Bible teaches us some important truths. The Bible says that this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Tonight we don't need the doctrine of men, we need the doctrine of God. And the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of truth, and it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, and I want you to understand, the word man of God here, you study that, it's not just preachers. That's everybody that teaches the truth. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. He doesn't say, preach your philosophies. He doesn't say, preach what the great Greek philosophers had to say. He says, preach the word. Dear friends, tonight when we go out and we witness and we tell others and we try to live a Christian life, we must have the word of God hidden in our hearts that we may speak it forth. The Bible says, the psalmist said, I believe it, therefore I've said it. I've declared it, I've spoken it. And tonight, that's what we need tonight. We need to learn to stand up for what we believe. But you're not going to know what you believe if you don't get the Bible. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Well, I come to find out there's going to be times when it's in season. There's going to be times when it's out of season. But it's always our responsibility to preach the Bible. To be givers of the Bible. A church that preaches the Bible. Do you realize tonight that the Bible is needed for strength and the Bible is needed for survival? You cannot survive as a Christian without the Bible. You know, it's your nourishment. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he likens it to the bread. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, the Bible is the milk of the Word. We go on and we can look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You're going to find that the Word of God is the meat for our life. So there we have the bread, we have the milk, we have the meat. And I like it, he even gives us the dessert. The psalmist says it was like honey and honeycomb to my taste. Isn't that sweet? It really is. The Bible is something that we all need. And we need it for every part of our life. As a babe in Christ, we need the Word of God. As a toddler in Christ, we need the Word of God. As somebody that's getting stronger and stronger, we need the Word of God. But here's the key. We never cease to need it. We'll need it all of our lives. You're never too old, and you'll never know it all. The greatest Greek scholars, the ones that can study this and read it in Greek and read it in every possible language you can possibly think. I'm going to tell you something. They still must study to show themselves approved. The Bible's so clear. And the only way we can bring glory to Him in the church is to be a church that preaches the Bible. We're to feed on the Word of God. Hopefully when you come here, you're going to get a feast. Right? I mean, that's my goal. It's every time you come here and I preach something, and sometimes I'll preach more expository, sometimes I'll preach shotgun style, it's all over the place. Sometimes I'll preach topical, you know. But I hope every time you go away and you've been able to eat something off of God's table that's going to help you and sustain you. But if you don't, you're going to starve to death. The reason there's no spirituality among many Christians is because many of them are going to churches that don't believe what it is I'm talking about tonight. There's a lot of things going on in the church, but it's not bringing glory to the Lord. It brings glory to man. You know, I hope, I could care less if I'm ever known in Tampa, Florida as anybody, but I hope our church is known as a church that preaches and teaches the truth of God's Word. People come in here, I want them to know when they've left, they've heard the Bible. Not my thoughts, not your thoughts, you know, but the Bible, God's Word. I love some of the Old Testament scriptures. I want you to turn with me back to Jeremiah chapter number 15. Would you do that? Jeremiah chapter number 15, and look with me Verse number 16, Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16. Jeremiah was writing, and this is what he said. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That's a beautiful passage of Scripture. We're to consume God's word. We are to take it into our lives. And when we do, it will be the joy and rejoicing of our heart. Do you know when you're going through the deepest, darkest valleys that God's word can brighten your day? Do you know when you're going through the most difficult times in your life, you're going to find in the Bible that there's a God that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Do you realize that when all have said that they don't want anything to do with you, that there is a God that said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world? There's great comfort in that. Look at the book of Ezekiel, would you? Turn with me just a few pages over to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter number 2. Ezekiel chapter number 2. And I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 9. The Bible says, and we're going to go into chapter number 3. The Bible says, and when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. And go, speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. He was saying, look, I want you to be consumed, and I want you to consume this roll, this word that I'm giving you, and then I want you to take it and eat it and go and tell it to others. It's a shame that Christians sit on what knowledge they have. We're not bringing glory to the Lord if we don't take what we learn out into this world and tell others about Jesus. Do you understand that we'll stand before God? Lord, help me. When I preach to you, I'm preaching to myself. We will stand before God with what it is that we've taken in, what we've done with that. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. How do I know that? The Bible. You've heard it numerous times. So, if we're going to be a church that preaches, we've got to preach the Bible. It's important that we learn the Word of God. You know, when you come to Sunday school, you ought to listen. You know why? Because if you come and you don't listen to learn, then you're held accountable for it. Well, then I just won't come to Sunday school. Well, then you're held accountable for that. For not coming to Sunday school. You're going to stand before... See, it's a whole lot easier to stand before me because you think you get by with it when you don't show up. But one of these days, you're going to stand before the Lord. Now, your sins are taken care of. But your works are going to be judged. What you've done with the Lord, I can't do anything about that. God already said it. It's settled, you know? Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. We need the Word of God, don't we? A church that preaches. What are we to preach? We're to preach the Bible. What else are we to preach? The blood. The blood. I believe tonight that people need to hear about the blood. Do you realize that a lot of the newer song books, now not in our Baptist churches, and I hope I never find a Baptist church that does this, but a lot of the song books are taking songs out of it that deal with the blood. Walk and wash away my sin. Nothing but, so I don't really know because it's not in here. Walk and make me whole again. That's confusing, huh? What are you going to do? See, we have, people want a bloodless religion. They think it's so cruel to think that somebody had to say, I want to tell you something, that's because we're so wicked that somebody did have to die and shed their blood on the cross of Calvary. We need never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ shed His perfect, sinless, spotless, innocent blood on the cross of Calvary that we could be saved. The Bible teaches us, I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians back in the New Testament, chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. We'll read together what the Bible says. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1 and in verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father. We read this last week. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse number 20, the Bible says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We have got to help people to understand that the only way that they can go to heaven is through the blood of Christ. It's not through the Baptist church. It's not through the Methodist church. It's not through the Catholic religion. It's not through any other religion. It's only through the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of I have been reconciled to God through the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He took this old sinner and He reconciled him back to heaven. And now I belong to Him. I deserve hell tonight. And so does everybody in this world. But Jesus died. And He shed His blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So people can do away with the blood if they want to. But if they do, they're on their way to hell. There's no hope outside of the blood. Look, Jesus paid it all. Do you realize every sin that ever has been committed or ever shall be committed was paid for on the cross of Calvary when Jesus, every sin. Now, whether you receive payment for it is up to you. You have to receive it by trusting that. It's offered. You know, you've seen me give a dollar to my son before. I'm not doing it again. I don't have a dollar to give now. I've got, I can't remember what I got on my billfold. It's not much. Yeah, I've got a little bit more this time. Definitely not giving that to Him. But you know, He has the opportunity to take it or receive it. Take it or reject it. Receive it or reject it. It's up to Him, right? That's what it is with salvation. But see, we cannot tell people that they're going to go to heaven any other way than by the blood. When we take them through the plan of salvation, we need to tell them, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible teaches us that Christ, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. There it is, that's the blood. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Now, if we're going to be a church that brings glory to the Lord, we have got to be a church that preaches the blood. You know? What we do a lot of times is we talk to people about, you know, about the church, and it's easy. I can invite people to church all the time, anytime, everywhere, anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's so simple. But to invite people to know the Lord, it gets so hard. Don't it? It's easy to knock on doors and work from East Avenue Baptist Church. You need to get the door slammed in your face, or they sit there and listen. They take your track. Say, we'd like to invite you to church. They may not say a whole lot. I'll tell you something. They'll usually listen to you when you say, we'd like to invite you to church. But when you start something like this, but more importantly, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? I don't want anything to do with that. It's pretty tough. But if you find one in 1,000, it's worth it. One in 100, one in 1,000,000, it doesn't matter. It's worth it. But if you tell them they're going to heaven any other way than through the blood, then you're a false prophet. Now, do you see what's going on in churches today? Have you seen what's happening in churches? People are doing away with the blood. They're doing away with the importance of the significance of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They may have the title church, but there's no glory being brought to the Lord in that. I want to remind you what the Bible says. When Jesus died on the cross, Isaiah 53 prophesied, said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord that Jesus died on the cross. It pleased our Father that His blood, His Son's blood, was shed on Calvary's cross. Now that's hard for us to understand, but that's how much God loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Think about it. It's the blood. And I want to be a church that tells people how to go to heaven. The Bible way. The Bible way. But then I think we ought to also be preaching about the blessed hope. Amen. The Bible, the blood, the blessed, you know, you've heard of the book, the blood, blessed hope. Everybody says it. Great three sermon outline. I thought everybody else used it. Why can't I? Only preachers get as much fun out of something like that as I did just saying it. Some of y'all use the same thing, you know. Power, promise, peace, prosperity. Everybody preaches on power, promise, peace, prosperity. You know, so we just use it and we put a different title to it. Well, tonight I put a title to mine. Unto Him be glory in the church. A church that preaches the Bible, the blood, the blessed hope. And I change it from the Bible, from the book to the Bible. I like the word Bible better. You know? There's nothing wrong with the book. I was like, because the Bible says, I found the book. I have found the book. If we're going to preach the Bible, we need to know it. Now, does that mean we have to know everything about it in the Greek and the Hebrew? And every no. You just need to read it and ask God to help you. God will help you. And here's the amazing thing about it, is when you need it, God will give it to you. If you're really studying and trying to show yourself proof, God will give it to you. Need to preach the blood. We need to tell people how to go to heaven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I think also we need to preach the blessed hope. I think people ought to know that our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the Christ of the second coming. Jesus is coming back to this world. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, and verse number 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says in the book of Titus, chapter 2, for now the grace of God that hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us unto Himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So what's the Bible say? The Bible teaches us that the grace of God brought salvation to us, and it's taught us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and it's taught us that we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly, but the grace of God has also taught us that we ought to be looking for Him. Amen. We ought to be looking for the blessed hope. So what do? When people say, why do you have the hope? Well, because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest ring, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Well, what is it? You're going through this difficult time in your life. You're going through a tragic illness, and it seems like death is knocking at your door. Well, at the end of this life is heaven. Christ is in me, and that's my hope, my assurance of glory. Well, what is it? You see the world going so awry. You see wickedness winning, and you see the laws are changing, and you see ungodliness all around. How can you live and have peace at all in this world? Well, I'm not looking to the world. I'm looking for that blessed hope. Well, what is that hope? Well, it's the glorious appearing. Appearing of who? The great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you're not going to have a conversation like that. But that's what we ought to bring people to. People ought to see a hope in our lives. They ought to know that there's something different about us. They ought to see us handling situations in a different way. It doesn't mean that we're not going to cry. It doesn't mean that we're not going to wring our hands. But it means that they see in us somebody that has placed their faith in God to help carry us through, and that's there bottling up the tears, that's there to put His arm around us when we are wringing our hands, and our trust is in Him. Our worries may be in the world, but our faith is in the Lord, and He is our hope. And we're to preach that to others. You know, when you're going through things, you may go to somebody, and you may say something like this: you know, this is tough, it's difficult, I really don't know what I'm going to do. But I found if I can just trust the Lord, God always helps. And I want to tell you something. If you really trust the Lord, God always helps. Does that mean He always cures you? Does that mean that circumstances always change? It just means that He gives you the peace that you need. He gives peace in the midst of a storm. How many of y'all have been through storms in your life? How many of you, let's just be honest, how many of you are going through a storm? How many of you just come out of a storm? Well, those of you that didn't lift your hand, you're headed into one. Because that's life. And as long as we're in this sin-sick, sin-filled world, there's going to be storms. Doesn't mean it's all the time, every day, but you're always headed into one, you're in the middle of one, or you're coming out of one. That's what life throws at you. But don't forget, there's somebody on board your ship. He's the captain of your salvation. He's the pilot of your ship. And as long as He's at the helm, your ship won't sink. It won't sink. As long as He's on board. Well, let me ask you something. What can get Him kicked off board? I'm going to show you. Romans chapter 8. And we're closing. That is in the New Testament, right? Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? You answer me. Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or peril? A sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Troubles? Trials? We're killed all the day long is what Paul said. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Life of a Christian. The life of a believer. Man, all these things. See, the world thinks they're having their way with us. They think these are the sheep for the slaughter. We're getting rid of them. But Paul says, look, we're not really the sheep for the slaughter. They may be persecuting us. They may be throwing trials at us. They may look at the sickness. But I want you to know, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then Paul says this, for I am persuaded. And I love these verses. That neither death, well, everybody's going to die. Or the rapture of one. Nor life. Nor angels. Nor principalities. Nor powers. Nor things present. Nor things to come. Nor height. Nor depth. Nor any other creature. He answers the question now. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus. That's why we're to be preaching the blessed hope. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, as we think about unto Him be glory in the church, we realize it's our responsibility tonight as the church to bring glory to You. And Lord, the glory in the church is Christ in the church. And of course, tonight as believers, we all have Christ living in us, but Lord, help us to be.